Take your Bibles, if you would. Book of John, chapter 8. It's been 3 weeks since we've been in it, and we're going to start in verse 31 tonight, but let me just quickly review what we've talked about so far in chapter 8, just to set the stage. We're going to try to finish the chapter tonight. There's 59 verses. I don't know if we'll make it or not. But you remember the chapter started out when Jesus was teaching in the temple. He had returned from Galilee and was teaching in the temple, and had already had a confrontation with the Pharisees. And he came back the next day after spending the night on the Mount of Olives, probably with Lazarus and Mary and Martha in Bethany, but began to teach again. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in the very act of adultery and said to Jesus, "Hey, the law says that we should stone her, but what do you say?" They were laying a trap for him. They thought that if he said, "Well, let's show her mercy," then they could accuse him of paying no attention to the law. If he said, "Well, let's go ahead and stone her," then they could accuse him of showing no mercy. So they thought they had him. Well, you remember the story. He knelt down, wrote on the ground, and said, "Well, you that are without sin, cast the first stone." And he bent back down and wrote on the ground. And when he lifted up his head again, all the men were gone. Just the lady was standing there with his disciples and others who had not been part of the accusation. And he said, where's your accusers? Doesn't anybody?" And she said, "They've left." And he says, "Well, no man accuses you, neither do I. Go and sin no more." After that, he spoke to the crowd around him about how he was the light of the world, and those that would follow him would never walk in darkness. And then he spoke to the crowd about the fact that he was sent from the Father. And the things that he taught were the things that the Father taught him, and that the Father was always with him. And we ended 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I guess, in verse 30, where the Bible says, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. So we start in verse 31 tonight, where the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And so when verse 30 said many of them believed on him, there were some of them that believed that were Jews. And probably in the Jews that believed on him, some of them were Pharisees. Okay? Now, if you look at that word believed, it means believe but not commit. They believed that he indeed was the Messiah, they were looking for. The political military Messiah, the ones that the Jews thought would come and overthrow Roman rule. And so they had some faith in him, but it was a misplaced faith. Because, again, he was going to be that Messiah, but not now. That will come later. We haven't seen it yet. And so he said, to test their faith, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Then truly you are my disciples." You see, many people say that they make a profession of faith, but how they live their life proves or disproves the nature of that faith. Many people believe God. Jesus said the devils believe in God. But those that have true faith continue to live in God's word and by his word. We're not saved by works. The Bible says we're not saved by works. But the Bible also says that faith without works is dead. If works don't follow the faith, then your faith is dead. In fact, James says we see a person's faith, the true nature of that faith, by their works. And so Jesus is telling them, "Hey, if you truly have faith in me, then you're going to continue in my word. You're going to listen to what I say. You're going to live by what I say." One of the passions of the Pharisees was freedom. Okay, they wanted to be a free nation, ruled by Jews with no outside domination or without any outside interference. And so he continues to say, if you truly are my disciples, you're going to continue in my word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, Jesus said, he'll say later on in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth. And so truth is part of his deity. Truth is part of who he words, who he was. And so his words about freedom drew a quick response from the Pharisees. They said there in verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, we know for a fact that the Jews were often in bondage. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were in bondage to Babylon, and then to the Persians, then to the Greeks. And at the time that all this was going on, they were in bondage to the Romans. And so they said, hey, we've never been in bondage to any man. What they were saying is we've never recognized the political bondage that we've been under. And so if we don't recognize, what they were saying is, if we don't recognize it, then it's not true. Now, how foolish is that? I mean, if something's true, just the fact that you don't recognize it doesn't mean that it's not true. It is true. And again, as they spake, they were in bondage under Rome. Jesus wasn't talking about political bondage. And the kind of bondage he was talking about, they didn't recognize either. He said in verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily. And remember, whenever Jesus uses the word verily, verily, he said, I'm about to say something important. Please listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So again, this was something that the Pharisees and the scribes didn't realize. Just like they didn't recognize that they were in political bondage, Jesus said, that's not the bondage I'm talking about. You're in another kind of bondage that you don't recognize. Hey, Brother Gerald, keep your eye on that guy that just sat down behind you, okay? I just don't want him to get in trouble, so keep your eye on him. It's your brother. but he said, I'm not speaking of that. I'm not speaking of political bondage. I'm talking about spiritual bondage. And you don't recognize that either. In verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. You're a slave of sin, okay? Now, again, he was painting a picture. A slave could be thrown out of his master's house at any time. But a son always had the right to live there. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus, again, was talking about freedom from sin. And the only way we can have freedom from sin is through the Son. The only way that we can break our bondage, the bondage that we all suffered at one time or another, the only way that we can break the bondage of sin, the chains of sin, is by coming through the Son and letting the Son pay for our sins. Verse 37. Now, again, in verse 33, they had said, hey, we're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage. So Jesus said, in verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. You see, there's two types of freedom. There's a false freedom and a true freedom. The false freedom is freedom from restraints without. The true freedom is being free from the things that inwardly hold us in bondage. False freedom thinks that they can do anything they want. True freedom is freedom to do what we should do. False freedom leads to anarchy. True freedom assumes the responsibility that goes along with that freedom. Only Christ can give us that true freedom. So they had said, hey, we're Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, okay, I know that you are Abraham's seed physically. You are descendants of Abraham. But you're trying to kill me. And they were trying to kill him. They'd been trying to kill him for a long time. Ever since, Remember earlier in John, he had healed the man at the pool of Bethesda that had been lame for 38 years on the Sabbath. He had broken the Sabbath, and the Pharisees were after him ever since then. He'd been away for over a year. Now he was back, and they were trying to kill him. And he said, "You're trying to kill me because the truth, the word that I'm sharing with you, doesn't have free course within you. In other words, you refuse to accept it. You refuse to believe it." He said, "Yeah, you believe in me. You believe that I'm the military Messiah that you're looking for, but I haven't come to be the military Messiah. Now I've come to be the spiritual Messiah. I've come to be your Savior from sin." And he had shown himself to be that over and over. That's what he was trying to teach the Pharisees. That's what he was trying to teach the scribes, the experts in the law, the ones that should have known who he was. That's what he was trying to teach them. Verse 38, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Jesus is sharing the truth. A son does what he sees his father do. "I speak what I've seen my father speak, and you do what you've seen your father do." Look at what they said, verse 39. "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Again, they insisted, "Hey, we're Abraham's descendants." And Jesus said, "Yeah, you are, physically. But you're not his descendants spiritually. If you were Abraham's father, I mean, if you were Abraham's children, if Abraham truly was your father, you would not be doing what you're doing. I've told you the truth, a truth that I've heard from God, and yet ye seek to kill me. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham was the father of the faithful. He wasn't the father of the murderers. He wasn't the father of the unbelievers. You claim Abraham as your father, but your deeds, what you're trying to do, prove that you have another father." So again, he's saying, "Yeah, you're the descendants of Abraham physically, but you're not his spiritual descendants." Now, look at verse 41. "Ye do the deeds of your father." "Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." So Jesus said again, "Look, a son does what his father does. You are doing the deeds of your father." And again, they said, "Look, we have one father. God's our father through Abraham, but God's our father." This was probably an attack on Christ, because the Jews believed at that time that Jesus was the illegitimate child of Mary. And so when they said, "We're not born of fornication," like what they were implying, like you were, "we have one father, and that father is God." Look at verse 42. "Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word?" So Jesus said, "Look, look at your deeds. Look at your attitude toward me. They prove that God is not your father. I came from God. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. He's the one that sent me. If God truly was your father, then you would love me and you would understand what I'm saying. But you don't. You don't. And so God is not your father." Now, then Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. Look at verse 44. "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I mean, now again, you know, we think of Jesus kind, sweet, always treating people with respect. I mean, you know, John the Baptist was the one that called him a bunch of vipers and snakes. But here's Jesus, and again, I think he said it with a lot of power. I think he said it very seriously and very sternly, looking him straight in the eye, not looking down, but looking him straight in the eye. He said, God's not your father. Satan's your father. The devil is your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he was a liar from the beginning. And when he lied, it was his, I mean, he couldn't do anything else because that was his true nature. That's who he is. He is a liar. And so when you reject my truth for lies, when you're trying to kill me for speaking the truth, you are acting like your father. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. I've tried to tell you the truth. I've tried to tell you what God told me. Again, I have not come on my own. I was sent by him. If God truly was your father, you not only love me, but you'd believe me and you'd accept my words. So he says in verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He says, if I have any sin that you can convict me of, go ahead and convict me. I mean, if I have sinned, then show me my sin. Convict me of my sin. Take me to court. Hold me guilty for my sin. But you cannot do that because I haven't sinned. And since I haven't sinned, why don't you believe me? What's stopping you from believing me? Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You want to know the reason you don't hear me? Because you're not of God. You're not God's children. You're not God's descendants. Again, strong words. Probably spoken very strongly, very sternly to the crowd. Again, Jesus was still trying to reach them with the gospel. I mean, he was still trying to convince them that the reason that he'd come was to die for their sins. He said, look, your father's the devil. You don't believe me. He was a liar. He was a murderer. You're trying to kill me. You're not believing the truth. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to, you know, to save your souls. Why won't you listen to me? Verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? I mean, when Jesus said all that, they said, you're a crazy Samaritan. That's the worst thing they could call him. Samaritan to Jews were dogs. They were half-breeds. Again, they were casting doubt on Jesus' birth. You're a Samaritan, and you're a crazy Samaritan. Have a devil. Crazy Samaritan was somebody at the bottom of the pile. Jews had no respect for him. And so they said to Jesus, you're a crazy Samaritan. That's what we called you. Verse 49, Jesus answered, I'm not crazy. I am not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. I don't have a devil. I know what I'm talking about. I am here to honor my Father. I have come to do his will. And what you're doing dishonors me. But he says in verse 50, and I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. The fact that you're not honoring me doesn't bother me, because I'm not here seeking your honor. I'm here seeking God's honor. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. And that's all that matters. Now, that same thing is true today. If it was true for Christ, it's true for us. We're not here to please man. We're here to please God. We're here to do his will. And God's glory and honor on Jesus would be the judgment on these scribes and Pharisees. Verse 51, Again, verily, verily, important. Listen, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. If a man listens to me and accepts my truth, again, he was talking about the gospel. He was talking about what he was going to do on the cross. That's what he was trying to teach him, that he had come from God as the saving Messiah, as the spiritual Messiah, to come to die for sins. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, the Jews, this just added to their case that Jesus was crazy. Then said the Jews unto him, verse 52, now we know that thou hast a devil, you're crazy. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Look, Abraham kept God's words, and he's dead. The prophets kept God's word, and they're dead. Now, again, they missed Jesus' point. He wasn't talking about physical death. He was talking about spiritual death, being separated from God. But they said, Abraham kept God's words, prophets kept God's word, they're dead. Are you greater than them? Who are you claiming to be? Are you claiming to be greater than Abraham and the prophets? Verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Jesus is saying, I didn't come to honor myself. I did not. If I came to honor myself, it would be nothing. It's God that honors me. And he honors me because I do his will. Remember, God from heaven on several different occasions said about Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That was God honoring his son, speaking from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I know him. You don't. If I said I didn't know him, I'd be a liar just like you because I do know him. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Now again, he was probably only about 33. This was getting close to the time that he was going to be crucified. So they just picked 50 out of the air. Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? You're not even 50 years old, and yet you're talking about seeing Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Now, when Jesus is talking there, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. That day that he was talking about was Calvary. You see, Abraham was saved the same way that all the Old Testament saints were saved, looking forward to what Jesus was going to do on Calvary. God used Abraham, he used Moses, he used the prophets to picture, to preview what Jesus was going to do on Calvary. And God allowed Abraham to see that day. Now, again, when Jesus was talking, it hadn't happened yet. That day hadn't happened. But Abraham had already saw it. He knew what was going to happen. In God's sight, because God knows it's going to happen, it's just like it's already happened. And the Old Testament saints looked forward to it and saw it. When the angels announced the birth of Christ, I think Abraham and Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the Old Testament prophets were in heaven rejoicing with an angelic choir saying, boy, it's starting. The thing that we look forward to, the thing that's going to bring about our salvation has been set in motion by the birth of this little child. And so Abraham saw it, and he rejoiced to see it. Then, verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him, because they realized
who he was saying he was. Before Abraham was, I am. The I am that stood by Moses at the burning bush. That when Moses asked, when I go back to your people in Egypt and they ask me who sent them to set them free, who should I say? And God said, you tell them, I am, sent you. And Jesus said, before Abraham walked the face of the earth, before he was, I am. They realized that he was claiming to be God. He was God. The penalty for blasphemy, claiming to be God, was stoning. So they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. I don't think he went and hid anywhere. I think he just turned his back and walked away. It wasn't his time yet. It was coming soon, but he went through the midst of them and passed by. His day would come before long, but this wasn't the day yet. Thank you for being here. Men will be praying back here, Brother Don, and in the side room here. Ladies over here, if you'd like to join either of them, please do that. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.